it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're rolling along. 3 hours to go here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan. Cowboys practice report is out. Malik Hooker limited. Wanye Thomas not practicing. And Malik Nabers on the Giants side, full participation. So we'll keep you updated there. Blue Jays got another one in the bottom of the eighth. They have two on with one out. They lead the Astros 5-0 now in the eighth inning. Here's Wolchuk with some sports.
Take it away, boy.
Sounds of the sports day. And at a time like this, when you have the Giants coming to town, there's really only one voice that you want to hear in terms of New York football analysis. It's the legendary Mikey Francesa.
Of course. Mm. Is he still awake?
Just when you thought Brian Broaddus was going to give the best analysis of Cowboys Giants. Listen to him talk about he's looking back at Sunday and he's grading the quarterback of the Giants. Take it away, Mikey.
I actually thought that Russell Warren would hit a couple of long passes to Nabers and they'd score a couple of touchdowns. And I thought Washington would score somewhere around 38. Russell Warren.
What?
Who? He had a bad Russell game today. Warren? It wasn't his fault.
Is that Warren?
It was not his fault.
It was not Warren's fault.
Clearly.
Dawson,
Russell Warren.
No matter how many times you want to make it Russell Warren's fault that the Giants suck so bad.
Come on, Russell Warren.
It is not on him. It's on the coaches.
Well, that's good
it's
to know.
Coaches. Players, it's not. You did it. You are okay. It's the coaches.
Mr. Unlimited.
I mean, the
Russell
first
Warren.
One, the first one, I thought, okay, maybe he's got some gum in his mouth or he just had a brownie at the break or something. You know, sometimes a Zen pouch gets stuck between your gums and your tongue and
been there.
A weird word comes out the first time. Then you circle back around it and you nail it the second time. That's crazy. Is there anybody named Warren on there too deep? Not that I see.
Not that I see.
There's no Warrens here.
And there's no Russell Warrens in the league.
What the hell, dude? I mean, he retired like 8 years ago and then came back, right? So Francesa should have sailed off into the sunset, but he couldn't break his addiction to five-hour talk shows.
Couldn't stay away from the Russell Warren analysis. That's what you get right there when you listen to the legendary Mike Francesa.
Hard-hitting facts.
Okay.
Mad Dog clearly holding up better.
Mad Dog has aged better. I'm sure he's a touch younger, to be fair.
He looks it.
Plus, he's hitting the gummies and the golf. That keeps you young,
too.
Yeah,
he's balanced.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about the old gummies and the Mad Dog.
It's half a gummy, by the way.
That's true.
Just half.
Just a little half-ski.
You believe that?
No one's believing
that. Do you think ESPN cut him off from talking about that? Because he was on a roll. I was enjoying that gummy content from Mad Dog.
Yeah, I haven't
Might not be wholesome enough.
Yeah, have we seen Doggy make an appearance? I haven't seen
him. Yeah, no, he's still doing his weekly deal.
Okay.
I just don't watch the show. He's still like going on his rants and doing his like what ticks him off every week. But he hasn't mentioned a lot of gummies yet.
Okay, so now we head to the Rich Eisen show where they had our buddy Frank Caliendo on the program, and he actually did a little Jerry Jones talking about Micah.
I have thought a lot about this, and the NFL on Fox is better without Micah, just like the Kansas City Chiefs would be better without Mahomes.
What? That's your analogy? Which Mahomes?
His brother. That, let's get that. Let's be clear.
Like, how does Jerry do that?
We thought this is the way it should be. Now, this is the same idea that we had with Jimmy. Jimmy was our guy, but when he ceased to be our guy, we moved on, and we are better.
Frank Caliendo, everybody here.
Oh, my God.
That's why Frank's the GOAT.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, did you notice he added the lip smack from the press conference?
Yes, dude.
Where it was kind of terse and, you know, meant to punctuate points? It's a guy studying his craft at all turns.
Yeah, he's all time for a reason. We do have breaking news here on 105.3 The Fan. Brought to you by the Wooly Bully.
It's good news.
Himself.
My wife just texted me and said my daughter just walked for the first time. She's been so close. She's going to try and get a video of it so I can see this, but she just hasn't, like...
You're kind of an absentee dad, aren't you?
The biggest moment.
She's been there for the last 3 days. I'm working.
Spring training set the precedent, didn't it?
She, like, waited you to leave.
Look, I said thank you, but no thank you to go into Vegas this weekend because we're at 32 weeks, and Eliza was born 32 weeks or at 32 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to risk missing this again. So I said, no thank you, I can't do this. So now Kevin Hagelin gets to go and enjoy that. And shout out to Hagee. He's going to crush this coverage. But yeah, I mean, it does suck that I didn't see it in person, but I'm working here.
It's okay. You will get to see her take many a step.
Yeah, screw you, Brian. It's really a great moment. I'm still happy for her. This is exciting.
That is great.
Sorry about that. You did have clowny hopes.
I had clowny hopes, yeah. Man. I was fired up.
No. I think the clowny thing's going to happen.
Make it good. Crap. It's just his daughter walking.
Awesome. Okay, so the anxiety dad thing from here until about, I'd say, 2.5 years old is now she'll start walking and boom, and then start running and boom. And you gotta follow around and be like,
she's been so close.
Slow the crap down.
I know.
And now they're totally mobile, right? So you got to make sure everything is toddler-proofed.
Yep. Oh, how about our guy Black and Gold B? Heard my baby's heartbeat today. Wife's first sonogram this morning.
Oh, congratulations.
That's awesome, B. Maybe the Saints can cover this weekend.
That's a first pick of the draft team right there.
Yeah, I think so. I wasn't going to go
the Giants.
On maybe the Saints.
Them and the Giants actually play each other. The Giants and the Saints play each other.
That'll be a battle of disgust.
Hmm. We need Jackson Dart to just look decent enough that they pass on all these quarterbacks this year. The last thing we need is like Lenora Sellers or somebody becoming a New York Giant.
Yeah.
And now they're good.
Well, I do think it's a good point from the 5-1-2. It would have just been a touch better. If you're talking about Frank Caliendo's fake Jerry Jones.
I don't think it was very good.
If you went with Michael instead of Micah. Now. Okay, so you're not impressed.
It was
with,
very good. Not much impresses, Brian. We found that
the
out.
The best, and I love Frank. I love, he we have a good time when he comes in here, the Gruden and stuff, all the stuff he does. I think the best Jerry Jones I've heard is Jeff Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
Jeff Kavanaugh has got Jerry Jones down perfect. And
he closes his eyes.
He closes
and just
his
gets
eyes.
Into character.
He channels his inner Jerry Jones is what he does. And I Jeff does it great. I didn't think that was as good as it could have been.
I mean, there's some decent scripted ones out there, you know, people working off of a script or with Caliendo working on his craft and then delivering when it's showtime. But Jeff would do that all impromptu.
Right. Just off the cuff. Yeah. Pretty good stuff right there. Okay, we continue. Sounds of the Sports Day. I had the pleasure of driving around a bit late last night. And
me too.
Flipped on. Little Fan After Dark.
Let's go, fatty.
And now, what was the big surprise that was awaiting us here at the studio yesterday?
The pie.
You guys got pie.
Yeah.
Still some in there.
Broad has had a freaking mouthful of pie for the last 30 minutes of the program last night.
It was excellent.
But it wasn't Dawson's mom's pie.
No.
Okay. This was Dave Swavey's.
Oh,
special
man.
Chocolate silk pie.
Shout out to Dave.
I think shout out to the company. It was a Pie-falutin. Kind of play on words there.
Pie-falutin. That's strong.
That is
gourmet
good.
Pies.
Now, you guys really like this pie, right?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
So listen to what feels like a little bit of disrespect. All right. This is bringing in the like the 10-20 segment last night. This is how Fred brings it in. And then listen to Blake Elliott come over the top with the extra disrespectful dunk unintentionally on Dave Swavey.
How about this chocolate pie? Is it good?
It's all right.
Wow.
Are you going to do your boy Swayze like that? It's all right.
Swayze.
It's Patrick Swayze.
Maybe just added some style to it.
You're going to do our guy Swayze like that?
Let's play that again, new guy Jake, because listen to how just like the powerful pause of Fred Davis when he latches onto the microphone from the jump, dunks on the pie, and then Blake doesn't know Dave Swayze's name.
How about this chocolate pie?
Is it good? It's all right.
Wow.
You're going to do your boy Swayze like that? It's all right.
Swayze.
Do your guy Swayze like that?
So then I continue the listening because
I don't even. Do you think Blake knows who Patrick Swayze is?
No.
I would say no.
Absolutely no chance.
Not.
Yeah. Honestly, him and Peyton Russell, they should play the game and see which one's worse. Like, how young is Peyton Russell?
So to me, I think what Fred was noticing is I would have dialed down the silk chocolate pudding down about 2 inches. It was kind of like pudding on top of a pie crust.
Okay.
You know, and I'm a crust guy.
Yeah.
Right.
So I need more of a ratio with the crust.
So, of course, when you hear something like that, you're not changing the channel. So you keep driving around the Metroplex, and all of a sudden they start getting into a gym conversation and why one goes to the gym. And you'll think Fred's the star of the show until the very end of this clip.
For the most part, everyone there is working towards the same goal, to be in better shape, to be in good physical health. So you want to keep
good,
going.
Look good naked.
Wow.
Okay. Look, what are we doing it for? Let's be real. What are you going to the gym for? To look good naked.
Let's all go around. Let's go around the desk. What do you go to the gym for? Fred, you say look good naked.
To look good naked, period.
I would say I want to be able to be a 40-year-old DILF.
A 40-year-old DILF?
Yeah. Nobody wants to have sex with fat DILFs.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, dad bod's in.
Wow. Hello.
The PG version of what Fred is trying to say is nobody wants to be unattractive to attract a mate in their older age.
Look at that. Look how long it took you to explain that when I just explained it in less than 3 seconds.
Okay. Trevor?
Oh, I don't go to the gym.
Yes, Trevor!
Trevor with the freaking all-time exclamation right there. Everybody's sharing their innermost secrets as to why they go to the gym.
Man.
And I guess just simply looking at Trevor was not enough. They wanted to go ahead and ask him. And he gave the most appropriate answer. That was fantastic stuff. Okay, so and we get 4 full hours.
I see it. You know, I like a little home gym workout. I think going to the gym, it smells weird. There's nudity in the locker room. There's awkwardness. You got the social media influencers doing stuff.
Yeah, they're taking videos.
I'm a whole workout guy. You know, I think with a couple of dumbbells, especially those dumbbells you can change the weight on. Who made those?
Like Nordic, the Bowflex?
Yeah, the Bowflex ones. Yeah, I got some of those. Things. And a Peloton. Good to go.
Get a little pull-up bar action in there?
You could, yeah, I have in the past.
It's been a while.
I remember when you were working on getting that one pull-up.
I did, and I got it done.
You did.
And then I haven't worked out since.
But hey, you achieved.
You set a goal.
You believed, and you achieved.
I didn't think I was going to get there.
Well, you did.
Okay, did you guys hear Jessica Simpson talking about Tony Romo on stage at a concert? If you missed it,
I saw this on social. I didn't hit the button to watch it and listen or anything like that.
Okay. I forgot she was still.
Did he really reach out to her?
Doing things.
Not to her. Okay. She'll explain it. She's on stage and she's just riffing now, and she decides to tell a Romo story that just happened.
A couple weeks ago, my mom got a phone call, and he's like calling my mom saying, "Well, Tina. I'm selling the boat." And my mom's like, "Okay." And he's like, "Well, Jessica."
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is still on the title. So then I get paperwork and have to sign over this book for him to sell. And guess what he gave me as a thank you?
$100.
Plastic cups. Honestly, plastic cups. I'm like, wow, I'm glad we didn't work out.
He sent her a dozen Red Solo cups, or what happened here?
Cups. I'm thinking, is it Red Solo cups? I don't really understand what it was.
The Romo cups?
Why was he giving cups away? But also just the idea that this is like 15 years ago that they were together.
Yeah.
And now he's having to make a phone call about the title on the boat.
That's weird.
She gave him the boat as a gift, and I guess it was in her name, and now he wants to sell it, and it is strange.
That's awkward. How much could the boat be worth?
Yeah, I don't know. How does a boat appreciate over the course of a decade and a half?
I don't think well.
I've been told a boat purchase is one of the worst purchases.
Yeah, boats are bad to buy. But I wonder how big the boat was. Is this like a couple $100,000 boat?
Or was it like Carolina Skiff we're talking here?
It was $100,000. Approximately hundo.
$100,000.
Custom made speedboat.
Ooh.
So probably pretty killer.
So it was made for speed, not for comfort.
I thought she was going to say the name was still on the boat, like on the back of it, like the Simpson Express or something.
Jessica.
Jessie's.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
There it is in the books. Where are we going next now? Woolchuck's
right,
up to bat.
Let's do some daily football fix, shall we? And in this edition, the NFL has new records. And do you have NBF? That's next.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. The Blue Jays won 6-0, so that moves the Rangers within two of Houston. They have the night off. It's football coming up here in just a second with Woolchuck. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's no out-of-pocket cost. Only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here's Bully.
All right, let's get that daily football fix. Some Cowboys notes. Calvin Watkins reporting that Deron Bland is out of a protective boot now with that left foot sprain. Team officials believe he's week to week, as Brian's been telling us. Also, CeeDee Lamb was asked about Drew Phillips. Apparently, Drew Phillips is who hurt his shoulder last year. He said, quote, "He tackled me and hurt me, so I've got something for him."
So who's that?
CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, that's right.
So if you get that matchup, CeeDee Lamb versus Drew Phillips, 88 might have a little extra sauce for him next time they see each other in the open field. But CeeDee said that he's had a lot of reflecting. It's been hard for him to sleep since the Philadelphia game, and he's certainly upset about those drops. And I think you're going to see Pickens and Lamb have monster games on Sunday. Maybe, heck, you can see 200-yard multi-touchdown performances.
I'll drink
fantasy
that.
Bonanza out there. A 40 burger for the Cowboys, and there's nothing the Giants can do, man. I'm taking the Cowboys to cover this thing. Easy. This is going to be easy breezy on a noon kickoff at AT&T. We're going to be going home 3 o'clock, listening to the post-game show with me and Brian. We'll be doing this till 6, and it's just going to be a celebration party. And if it's not, heads are going to roll.
Oh, I could imagine.
Are going to roll.
The Woolly Bully would be on fire.
I'd be stunned.
After a Giants win.
Absolutely stunned if this were to happen. Xavier Worthy, he's got a right shoulder. He's still going to be out. So that's our buddy Nate Taylor, who we got to catch up with at the Super Bowl reporting for the Chiefs. But he was not participating in today's practice. I just don't know what's going to happen with the Chiefs and their wide receiver situation moving forward. I don't know that these guys can ever be healthy together at the same time. Rashee Rice, suspension. Xavier Worthy, now he's getting just running into his own teammate, his shoulders falling off his own body. Now you got Hollywood Henderson, who's having to catch 20 balls a game, and I don't know how long that's sustainable for him.
Hollywood Brown.
Hollywood Brown. We talked Hollywood Henderson earlier, so he was just on the memory bank here.
I love it. Yeah, Travis Kelce is a maddening player to watch these days. I don't understand what has happened to him. I guess he's just not focusing. I think it's a lack of focus.
Just needs to focus.
But he screwed up a touchdown situation because he stopped running when he should have kept running versus the Chargers.
You don't want to stop running.
He runs his route at the wrong depth and just completely kamikazes his own wide receiver.
It was bad.
His own player. It's a bad situation. I think the Tyreek Hill stuff could be real. We'll see as the Dolphins continue to
they should move on.
One of the worst. I saw Mike Florio was saying that it's the Chiefs and the Steelers as the two teams that have shown a little interest in maybe getting some Tyreek Hill.
They're wide receiver hunting now. Tyreek Hill's under another investigation for domestic violence allegations. I mean, this just doesn't stop.
That could screw some things up a little bit.
It's constant.
If I'm a trading for him team, I know who Tyreek Hill is.
Especially if you're the Chiefs.
This really hasn't changed the evaluation at all. I don't know what to believe. You know, I do think Tyreek Hill is one of the most live wire wild cards in the entire NFL off the field. But I also feel like it's a perfect time to just have stuff made up or to re-drudge stuff up as they're in a back and forth. And you know how those domestic disputes can get.
Absolutely.
So petty and personal, and about half of it's fabricated.
I do think he's going to get traded. And did you see the odds now for Mike McDaniel? Best odds, first coach fired.
Is he the best one?
Mm-hmm. Number one.
Oh, wow.
Good thing I put on. Got my cheddar there where he was like fifth best odds on that thing. I'm going to go ahead
you
and
bet
cash
that
in
one?
Pretty. Hell yeah, it's one of my bold predictions back in May. First coach fired, Mike McDaniel. That thing's a train wreck in Miami. Really
yeah, it bad. Is. Disaster.
Dak Prescott, 13-game winning streak against the Giants with a win on Sunday.
past Roger Staubach?
Be alone in second place for consecutive wins against one team with 14. Who is the quarterback that holds the NFL record with 17 straight wins?
I know it. I know who it is.
I think this
you
is.
You would know who it is.
I know who it is.
Is this Aaron Rodgers beating the...
Wrong.
No.
Is this Tom Brady beating somebody?
Brady is tied with Dak for 13 straight wins against Buffalo. This quarterback also has...
Is this Bob Greasy?
It's Bob Greasy.
Bobby G.
17 straight wins against the Buffalo Bills. And nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Like the bad Buffalo Bills.
Oh, those bad Bills. All right, NFL set viewership records. Surprise, surprise. 22.3 million average viewership per game. Most watched week one on record. It's up 5% from last year. It's up 19% from 2 years ago. Third straight week one to have four games deliver over 20 million viewers. The four games that did so. Number one, most watched, Cowboys-Eagles. Number two, Ravens-Bills. I didn't watch a second of that game, guys. That's how you know I was down bad. Holy I didn't cow. See a second of that game. I was in bed shivering to death. I thought I was going to die that night.
I turned it off with about 7-8 minutes to go, and then my brother, who hit a 9-game parlay thanks to the Bills' comeback, texted me, "What a comeback."
You're like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, and so I went back and watched it. It was unbelievable.
I did the condensed game thing yesterday when I finally felt like good enough to get out of bed. 24.7 million viewers, though. Detroit-Green Bay and then Minnesota-Chicago, the other games to hit over the 20 million viewership mark.
Yeah, most watched weekend ever, maybe.
Crazy.
It's wild how a lot of these games are creeping into Cowboy territory. Usually when you're talking about over 20 million, it's like, okay, who'd the Cowboys play?
Well, and I think we're going to get a record tonight. Most watched Amazon Thursday night football game ever. Commanders-Packers. I mean, this one's going to be fun tonight. You, of course, have Micah Parsons. He's hoping to keep that sack streak going. Jaden Daniels, Debo Samuel. How's that offense going to look? Can Debo do this 2 weeks in a row? And the Dan Quinn, Micah Parsons deal, Jordan Love. I mean, this is going to be Commanders Packers. I'm sure Al Michaels is fired up. He's finally got himself a good game to get ready to call. I think the record for most watched Thursday night football game is Cowboys Seahawks from a couple years ago. So this might have a chance to beat it.
I just hope the Amazon like pre and post and halftime crew has gotten better. It just seems so weird and dysfunctional and like fragmented with
You
know, who is it? Tony Gonzalez and Richard Sherman and Whitworth.
Yeah. Whitworth's our guy.
It was weird. You know, they needed to get their chemistry sorted. Yeah. So fingers crossed for tonight.
Is it still
the quarterback guy? What's that? Do we say him?
Fitzpatrick?
Oh, yeah. Fitzmagic.
And Fitzpatrick and Whitworth, maybe they should just have those two because they do a podcast together.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just two. It could be Tony Gonzalez. You know what? I think Tony, I'm going to go on a limb. Tony G's the one messing up the chemistry.
Back with the bold prediction.
Tony G, get out of here.
First guy booted from the Amazon Prime set.
Gonzalez. Or do you just move him to his own thing? You know, maybe you put him in the
a little booth.
Maybe we do a three-man booth.
We're going to cut to Tony here for his thoughts on the game.
Yeah, Tony, what do you like they do with Dungy? Like, hey, it's the Tony booth. Brock Purdy. Oh, he is not good right now, boys. This is bad news. Purdy's about to get usurped. He's done.
You think Mac Jones is going to get him?
Mac Jones, who That's Kyle Shanahan has always wanted to be his quarterback. They traded up to go and get Mac Jones, and they let the media bully them at how stupid they were for thinking Mac Jones should be the third overall pick in the draft, that they took Trey Lance. They took Trey Lance.
Now they got
Mac Jones. He's going to start because Brock Purdy's a long shot to play in week two. Dude ain't playing. I don't know when he's going to be back. He's got a toe. He's got something else that's hurt. Brock Purdy, watch out. This could be the Mac attack. And I'm ball second all of you. I do not believe in Mac Jones. But this will be kind of interesting because I do think Kyle Shanahan has always had an affinity for Mac Jones. And maybe this ends up being the time that he could flourish.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mac Jones goes, like, if he misses the next 5 games, 3-2, 4-1, something like that. I don't think their schedule is that difficult. They have to have the Rams in there. But it's the Saints up first.
Yeah.
And that should be a dub.
This is the beginning of the Mac Jones-Sam Darnold arc.
Oh, yes. Maybe Mac Jones is auditioning to be the new quarterback of the Saints next year.
I could see it.
It could be. Big money. All right, let's go back to the wide receivers. Here's Malik Nabers, and I think we all know somebody with this condition. I'd never heard it called these three letters before, but here's Malik Nabers being frustrated after having just 5 catches on 12 targets.
Like I said, I was trying to get the offense going. I was trying to get people to let's get rolling. You know, the lights was on, the game was on. You know, it's time to play. I feel like that just got pushed over. You know, and everybody was talking about just how I was attitude and stuff like that. It's just...
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got an NBF. I got a natural bitch face. That's just what it is. My face. I don't know. Like when y'all talk to me, I look the same way every time. I don't know. It's just how I am. But when you, I guess I got a small one.
He's got an NBF. Now I've heard RBF.
I've heard RBF.
Resting B face. My wife has one.
But,
she'll be the first one to tell you she doesn't smile. I mean, there's often times I'm like, what have I done?
Yeah, it happens. I don't know if that would apply to me, but I would change it to like resting jerk face, an RJF situation. Yeah. As a man, I want to stay far away from that B word as possible. Yeah. There's not any good connotation that comes along with that.
No, you say that word in prison, I've been told it's on.
I mean, the girls use it back and forth almost like it's a term of endearment.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So, but I just don't think it applies to a man. If that's the case, I think he's got to own his part a little bit more. There's a way that you go about on the sideline. But Dez Bryant was victimized by the same stuff during Amen. His career, where he was saying, I'm just trying to fire people up and give them love and give them confidence. And he's, you know, it looks like he's reading Tony the Riot Act, but then you get the sounds of the sideline and he's saying, Tony, we're the best in the league at this. Mm-hmm. You know, so it can be complicated trying to read body language from the sideline, but I thought Hagee had a good point today that coaches talk to their best players and their leaders about body language, because as a best player, like it or not, doesn't matter how old you are, people are looking to you for signs of hope.
And we've seen it from CD.
Not panic.
CD yeah. last year, we had conversations about that as well with frustration.
Yeah, and CD has done a total 180 on that narrative around his, you know, intangibles.
Yeah.
It's been very impressive this
100%.
Year.
100%. The question that you love to ask, and one that Brad Sham loves to answer, Eric.
Ooh.
Must win
game.
Is this a must win game? Well, going into week two.
Is it their ninth loss?
There is one coach who is saying this is a must win game, and it is Man Campbell in Detroit. He is calling this game week two against the Bears.
Love it.
And their old buddy Ben Johnson a must win. He said, we have to win. We're going to win this game. We have to.
Put it
in
2-inch letters.
He's right. If they fall 0-2, it's Dunsky.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's...
I'm talking, he's getting fired. No, I'm just kidding.
he's a man of his word. I mean, he is. We saw it last year. Was it last year or the year before when they were playing the Cowboys? It was like, no, we're going for it.
I don't care how many
penalties we get, how far away from the end zone we get.
And over again.
We are going for it. Yeah, I would put all the money in the world on Detroit. If Man Campbell's saying that, you don't want to let him down. Yeah, I just don't know if I can believe in Dan Campbell. I definitely don't want to let him down. But throughout this entire run, I mean, when he got hired, I thought it was another bad hire from Detroit. But it's really worked out. But I think I would look more at the GM. You know, it's like Rex Ryan, all the success he had with the Jets, Nick Sirianni with the Eagles. I'm just not buying it.
I think this just comes down to Man Campbell on his high T levels refuse to believe the notion that there's any chance that a fingernail painted quarterback could beat him.
Yeah, that was the angle. Yeah, we can't stand for losing to the Bears though, especially with how bad they looked against Minnesota. But salute to the Woolly Bully for putting on us on this first, that Detroit might be ready for a letdown season. Certainly look like it. Like the loss of Ragnow and Johnson, I was hoping that's what would happen to the Eagles.
Yeah.
When they had
eight total coaches that they lost, because you had Aaron Glenn take Tanner Engstrand, who's another offensive coach for them that could have been elevated to OC. He's now the OC with the Jets. So, it was, I mean, they got picked off. And I don't know if it's in one offseason they're going to be able to rebuild that thing.
We got Jake Ferguson coming up here in about 45 minutes or so. The Jake Ferguson Show here in the G-Bag Nation every Thursday. Players you want to see more of in week two versus those Bears. That's coming up next here, G-Bag Nation, the fam. All right. Thank you, Jacob Ray, in for Lucius Alexander, who is on his way to Las Vegas to cover the fight with Hagee. So tune in tomorrow for coverage from Las Vegas. 682 wants to call it resting D-face. You know, the Vic Fangio face on Malik Nabers. And
RBF.
The 904 says, it says, Dawson, you have third degree RBF. And I understand it. There's nothing I can do about it.
I'm with you, man.
I think it might have to do with just being in my own head. I'm just not paying attention enough.
I think sometimes I'm giving it off.
I mean, but you're so much more likable than me, you know? So I think you make up for it some pretty good ways. Mariners are going to open up against the Angels tonight. 1.5 up on the Rangers now for the wild card. Houston now just 2 up after they got shut out by Toronto today. So
that's 2 hit.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
That's a fun way. It was George Springer. It was George Springer getting the first run across the board, the former Astro, getting after the Blue Jays today, and it was fun to take that all in here as we've broadcasted throughout the day. How about players you want to see more of in Week 2? I'll just, you know, give you what Blogging the Boys had here in this article, but I want to hear your thoughts at 877-881-1053. See what else you have. They go with Turpin number 1. And I'm excited about his playmaking ability. I just don't think he is a wide receiver 3. And I think this team really, really needs to consider how much better they could be if they had a third wide receiver that was, you know, productive, capable. For me, it's a slot type of player like a Cole Beasley. Obviously, that got to be a godsend right now. Just get him the ball 5-6 yards and, you know, watch him work, make guys miss. But somebody more reliable, I think, is what I'm getting at, that a Kevontae Turpin, a high percentage look. I don't know if they have that in their offense right now.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that for sure. You gotta really scheme some things up for Turpin. But I do think you can scheme some easy things for him just because of the speed. But yeah, down the field, it's not really going to be much. But I do think he's a guy that brings an element of explosiveness. And until Jaden Blue gets back, you just don't really have a guy like that, other than just like chunking it deep to Pickens or whatever. And Lamb can give you some of that. But in terms of just game-breaking speed, using him in a multitude of different roles, trying to get him the football 5, 6, 7 times a game, I think it is important for the offense.
Yeah, it's got to be schemed, though. I like that.
This is about the time that Jalen Tolbert will show up and have a really good game for you.
Mm-hmm.
Against a bad team.
Yeah, and then
we'll see him in October.
And then we'll go a couple of games. He'll miss the Bears game. Not miss, but he won't be as productive against the Bears or the Packers, and then he'll be back at it against the Jets.
Yeah,
that's kind of his Panthers. MO. I mean, it's a little bit of a guy that will all of a sudden play great for, you know, maybe one or two games, and then you don't hear from him for 3 games. It's a shame. The guy has that kind of ability. He's just not very consistent in doing it. I kind of feel like that they can do some things with Turpin, and I mean this in a way of down the field. We all know he's not the biggest guy and stuff like that, but I think there's stuff that you can put him inside and have him work in the middle a little bit. He kind of gets lost inside. You know, some of his plays that he was able to make last year, some of the catches
that
were
quick slanting against Houston.
Yeah, he's had some time where Dak has, well, it was really Cooper Rush last year, was able to kind of find him. You know, you don't want to throw like deep balls down the field, down the sidelines or anything like that.
Like some over routes when Pickens and Lamb have cleared everything out.
I would tell you this, man. I would start him on the far right and line up trips to the left and run everybody inside going left to right and have him coming right to left.
Just on a drag.
And I guarantee you he will be wide open on the other side of the field to throw the football to. He's got a feel for that because of like the punt return stuff, the kick return stuff. He's got that vision. I just don't feel like that they do enough with him like that, where they set him up to get the ball in his hands on the move.
They had that one play last week where they hit him on that left side.
Remember,
and he picks up a first down.
Remember how Cooks would line up like slot right,
mm-hmm.
and he would end up in the left corner of the end zone or left corner of the field.
He'd work that baseline.
Yeah, well, it's just a straight play. Like an arrow route, just a straight run through the defense. Let everybody kind of clear routes, and then have him go just straight arrow across, not across the field, but right to the like to the corner, and then he gets lost. That's one of the things, and I think you hit him on the other side of that.
I like that. That's scheme. Sure. You know, I would, you know, follow
I'm
up
just
and
sitting
ask
there
you
doing radio. You know what I'm saying?
If you, I mean, it's kind of like what Micah said about Detroit. If you got to run trick plays, you don't really have that great of a chance. So I would say go find somebody that can destroy one-on-one coverage. Yeah, I thought Chief made a great point earlier in the show. Like, was your run game efficiency a result of the attention Pickens and Lamb are getting? I think absolutely. Imagine a middle-of-the-field technician that could go to work and destroy linebacker, safety, slot corners.
Well, a trick play would be him throwing the ball, you know. But, I mean, to me...
But misdirection type stuff.
That's what I'm saying. When you a trick play, reverse, halfback pass, those are kind of, you know, screen off a pass, you know, those kinds of things. I'm just saying, you know, teams all over the league, every day we watch games And there's teams that are finding a way. How did Kansas City get Hill open all the time? You know, I mean, he's an explosive player, but they ran combinations where they made a smaller player run through trash to get to the other side. That's just smart football. You know,
I would love it. You know, if the Cowboys really want to go for it, look at the NFC. I think Green Bay is number one. Philly taking a step back. Detroit taking a step back. Tampa has been a playoff team last 2 years. Rams are good, but not great. I wish
Tolbert was better. I don't disagree with
more Ryan Flannoy.
I don't disagree. You want more Flannoy?
I think all of them would be ultimately better players than what Jalen Tolbert is. Wow. I don't understand why, like, social media, we want to fight about players that aren't very good. Like, Cowboys content creators, we end up like getting into bits about, oh, how good is Mozzie? How good is Jalen? Like, we're fighting over bottom of the roster players here, guys. Yeah. It's okay to admit that the Cowboys failed on a draft pick and they have not lived up to expectation. They're not that good. I understand what the stat line was for Jalen Tolbert. I've watched the All 22 every week like Brian has. Jalen Tolbert does not block. He's super inconsistent. He's not a great route runner. Like, you've got to tell me, what does Jalen Tolbert do that is better than Ryan Flannoy? And I don't think you have an answer for me. I think Ryan Flannoy can be a better player than Jalen Tolbert. To me, he's now becoming an issue to other younger wide receivers that you can develop that I do believe will become better players.
I wanted to bring up another Jalen because, you know, the point I was kind of getting to is this conference is gettable. Would Miami let Jalen Waddle go? 3 years, $85 million last year. Take one of those first-round picks. I don't know if George Pickens is a long-term dude, but with those three guys, you would be completely unguardable. They've already eaten quite a bit of his cap hit, so his salary is manageable for this year. I don't know if it takes a one. It's a high salary.
How many years does he have left?
I think he's got two this year and two more.
Okay, this year and two more.
Okay, I'll have to double check.
Get like $27 million a year.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit over that. I mean, and that's a solid number for a wide receiver too. Yeah, that's probably less than Pickens is going to get.
Yeah, so
you're probably right.
You'd have him through the 2028 season.
Are we gonna be in a situation where all of a sudden he has success and we're gonna be, you have to, like, he's gonna hold out and wants to pay him $35 million a year?
I don't know. I mean, he's a solid player for sure, and as a wide receiver three, I mean, he would be the best wide receiver three in football for sure.
Maybe history.
It's just one of those guys that gets nicked up so freaking often. I mean, he came down wrong on his shoulder the other day. I'm sure he's fine, but he goes out of the game versus the Colts. But I do like what you're thinking there. I mean, that would be a next level move.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think the Cowboys are that far off. We'll have to talk about other players we want to see more of a little bit later on here. It's the G-Bag Nation, 3 hours down and two to go. G-Bag of the Day is coming up here in 30 minutes. We'll hit the expressway, go commercial free to the top. And Eric, in addition to the finest coming up, right?
An NFL team just set a new all-time record and a big concern for the Packers versus the Commandos tonight. That's next year in the Nation. But Tolos, I love supporting local family-owned businesses, especially ones that prioritize quality over quantity, and that's exactly what Greystone Roofing and Construction does. Keep in mind, the roofing business here in the DFW, a bit like the Wild Wild West, it can be very unpredictable, chaotic, and super risky at times, thanks to the storm chasers. But that's why you need to know who's on your roof, and you do when you use Greystone. You can visit Greystone-Roofing. That's Gray with an E, stone-roofing.com, and you'll see for yourself why homeowners across the area trust owners Josh and Alexis Vining. Fantastic people. They take care of their customers, and that's why I love them. And they're high school sweethearts, power couple, been in business together for almost 30 years right here in the DFW, and they're certified in every possible way. They actually have licensed insurance adjusters on staff, which is super unique. They always bring you the honesty, integrity, and the highest level of quality in every project that they tackle. They're never cutting corners, just pure dedication when you use Greystone. You always have skilled experts treating your home like it's their own, paying attention to every detail. So whether you need repairs to fix a leak or perhaps you need a full-on home glow-up to transform that property of yours, they're your one-stop shop for all things roofing. Head to graystone-roofing.com today. Schedule that no-cost inspection. And remember, with Josh and Alexis at Greystone Roofing, you get exceptional service and peace of mind that stands the test of time. It's graystone-roofing.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.